take your Bible tonight, and as you have your Bible handy there, I'm going to start with a text and then do a topical sermon, but starting with a text or a textual topical. And I want to remind you that a while back I preached a series of messages on revival from Ephesians 3. How many remember a series of messages on revival? Good, all right. And we preached that series of messages, and tonight I would like to go back there for one message to kind of preach on the final two verses of Ephesians 3 and what we talked about on revival. So please take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 20 and then verse number 21. Ephesians, if you will, chapter 3 from that series on revival, 20 and 21. And this evening, I want to ask you a question before we look at that verse. Do you want glory in this church? Do you want glory in your church? And many people would say, well, yeah, I want glory in the church. But when we have revival, when we have glory in the church, it'll cost us something. And it will shake things up. One professor that I had in Bible college said, if you have glory in your church, you're going to many times stir up a hornet's nest. He used to tell us that. But tonight, I want to ask that question to you. Do you want glory in your church? Do you want glory in your life? Do you want that? And we need that, but do you want it is the question. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. First of all, verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And then he's writing according to verse 21 about his glory, and I'll read that one as well. It says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So there it talks about glory in Christ Jesus, glory in the church. And of course, the church, we're thinking about the local New Testament church and having God's glory shine in and through our church. And I want to say in this message, three things about the question, do you want glory in the church? And if you say, Pastor, I want glory in my life. I want glory in the church. I'm willing to court God's presence and power. I want that. Well, then I want to say three things. Number one, you need to praise God for it. And that's exactly what the apostle's doing here in verse 20. He's saying, now unto him, God, that's able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's not limited by your faith. God is able to do more than you can conceive, more than you can believe. God is able. I remember when the early church was praying for Peter to get released, and he actually did get released, and he knocked on the door, and Rhoda, remember Rhoda came to the door, and she was like, Peter's at the door. They're like, no, Peter's not there. You're crazy. Yeah, he's not there. And then they said, well, finally, he kept knocking. It's his ghost. It's his ghost. I mean, crazy. But, you know, God is not limited by your ability to believe and your ability to conceive what he can do. In fact, the Bible says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee what? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so tonight, let's not think that God is limited by us and our ability. Let's praise God for who he is. And God loves it when we praise him. And He shows up when we praise Him, and He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. I'm talking about His glory manifested in the church. You know, our hearts sometimes are down. Many times our hearts are down. I was thinking of this verse today where the psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And you may be there tonight. Your soul may be cast down because of physical problems or financial struggles or ministry problems or whatever it is, you know, people problems, bus problems. Let's get right to it. Your soul may be cast down. I've been there. I'm there. I understand that. But wait a minute. God's greater than your soul. God's greater than you. And I'm telling you tonight, God is greater than your problems. He hasn't changed. You may be in a cloudy day, but above those clouds, the sun is still shining. Amen. I remember going to Jack Hiles' funeral, and Dave Hiles was there, and he was talking about taking off from Texas to go to the funeral. And he was talking about it was a rainy day and a lousy day, but when they got in that jet and just started soaring like an eagle, they went above the rain clouds. And when they got above the rain clouds, the sun was still shining. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, you may be going through a low time, a hard time. Praise God anyway. Praise God for who He is. Praise God for what He can do. Praise God that He is not you. Praise God for who He is, what He can do, and that He's not you. He's greater than you, and He's greater than people around you who don't have a clue many times. And so tonight, if you want to have glory in your church, glory in your life that will make an impact for God, start praising God for what He can do. And so, you know, we've been reading through the Bible, and our church is reading through the Bible. How many of you are reading the Bible with us? Amen. How many of you read in 2 Chronicles this week in the Bible reading? Amen. Okay. And I have here a scripture that goes along with glory in the church. Do you want glory in the church? And here's what I read in 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13, concerning the house of God that Solomon built for the Lord. You know, Bob Gray said, you make the form and God will fill it. Amen? You make the form and God will fill it. We don't just want a form. We don't want to go through the routine and the ritual of church and the things that we do in church. No, we need God to fill it. And that's what Bob Gray was talking about. You make the form and God will fill it. You write the message and God will fill it. You teach the Sunday school lesson and God will fill it. And it says there in 2 Chronicles 5:13, Solomon built the house for God, right? And look what it says after he built the house. It says that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And then in verse 14 it says, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. You know what? I want a house like that. I want a church like that. Yeah. That's what you ought to want. That's what we ought to have. Do you want that tonight? I remember going to the great conferences, the great pastor schools and youth conferences back in the heyday of Dr. Jack Hiles. Back in that heyday, oh my, oh my, oh my, God filled that house. What a time that was. And so not only the temple that Solomon built, the house of God, but remember Moses in the wilderness. God said, you make a tabernacle. I'm going to meet with the people there. By the way, when we go to church, we're going to meet with God. Amen? That's what you should be doing. You should be here to meet with God, have an experience with God, the living God. And God said to Israel when he led them out of Egypt, okay, I led you out of Egypt. I delivered you from the world and from Pharaoh, the type of Satan, but now I want to meet with you. I want to get to know you. I remember I've shared this before, but there was a missionary when I was at Baptist Bible, and we had a big missionary conference, and he came, and he was just so mundane when he preached. He was just like God wasn't real to him. He didn't seem real to him, you know, and he was a missionary serving on the foreign. foreign field. And then they had a question and answer time, and somebody asked him about demon possession. And he got all excited, you know. Ha ha, devils, oh yeah, I know about them. And I thought, well, man, you need to know about God, you know. What do you know about God? What do you know about the power of God and the glory of God? And so I'm just saying that the tabernacle was a place to meet with God. And I want to meet with God when I go to church. I want to meet with God when I meet with the men and we pray. I want to meet with God when I get with him during the week and have that time with him. And so God said, build me a tabernacle. Moses did it. And when he was done, the cloudy pillar appeared over the Holy of Holies and over the tabernacle. And when the pillar moved, the people moved. When the pillar stopped, the people stopped. It was a cloudy pillar. So Solomon had it. The tabernacle had it. And as you look in the Bible and go in the Bible, it says when the Lord returns, he's going to return with the clouds. And those aren't just, you know, cumulonimbus clouds in the sky. That speaks, the cloud is God's glory. The glory of God is going to shine physically from the Lord when he returns. And in Israel, in the temple and in the tabernacle, the glory of God was manifest physically. It was all over the temple and the tabernacle. Now, there were times when the glory departed. You know that. And sometimes we have to live during those times. But is that what you want?
No.
I don't want that. I want the glory of God. Sometimes we go through times of apparent desertion when it seems like God has left. But listen, God wants you. He wants you to want him. And he wants to manifest his glory. In fact, that's what Jesus said when he comes back. The temple of God is going to come out of heaven. Do you know that? And it will be right on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem will surround the temple of God, the glory of God. He wants us. He said, I want you to behold my glory. And do you want that? Do you want to behold the glory of God and praise him? And so that's what it's saying here. It says, unto him be glory in the church. And his glory is in the church, which is God's temple today. Now, I want to read 2 Chronicles again, 5:13, because the question is, when did the glory of the Lord fill the house that Solomon built? When did, you know, that's the house of God. We're the house of God. So we ask ourselves the question, when did God's glory come and fill it? Well, here it is, verse 13. It came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, that then the house was filled with a cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled it. Now I want you to notice it says here that the singers and the trumpeters were as one to make one sound. You know what? That's the problem so many times, that Acts 2 said that the people, when the Holy Spirit came and filled the house where they were of what? One accord. In one place. By the way, if you're not in one place, you can't be in one accord. In other words, don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. I know it's summertime. People say, oh, I got to go to the lake. I can't be in the house of God. Oh, I got to go camping. I can't be in the house of God. Oh, I got, and I understand there are vacations. That's fine. But you could even be in the house of God on vacation. Amen. You don't neglect the house of God. And I'm saying a lot of people are not only in the summer, but sometime during the year, they're AWOL. If you want the glory of God, be here. Show up in the good times. Show up in the bad times. Be here. Sunday morning, be here. Be here in Sunday school. Be here in church. Sunday evening, be here. Oh, you are. Amen. Wednesday night, be here. unless you're camping. Be here. Show up. I'm just saying they were in one place, and they were in one accord. What does that mean? Well, they were in one accord. That means that we all need to have the same mission.
Right.
You know, I believe it's easy for us to crawl off the altar. We get on the altar and we say, Lord, take my life and let it be. And we crawl off the altar. What's our main mission? It's for you to give the gospel to people. You got people to give the gospel to that I can't give it to. Wherever you go, you are a missionary. You leave the mission field when you leave here. And God gives you appointments and opportunities. But the fact is, to be honest tonight, are we of one accord? Do we have the same mission? Are all of us doing that? Are all of us aware that that is our number one priority? I don't believe it's so. Thank God for Bob Gray as he preached, and these guys went to that meeting, and he was preaching about soul winning, and he was talking about going to Nineveh, and Jonah was late, and how many people died and went to hell that weren't part of that revival because Jonah was late. And you say that's the sovereignty of God. No, that's the responsibility of man. No, if you're late, that's the responsibility of man. And if you delay and you don't give the gospel to somebody, somebody dies and goes to hell, that's not the sovereignty of God. That's your responsibility. And their blood is on your hands. Paul said, I'm clean from the blood of all men, because I haven't shunned to declare to you the counsel of God. And I'm saying one accord. We are in one accord. Whatever your belief on the sovereignty of God is, on the second coming, we should be of one accord that our main mission, we're here to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. The man of God needs to be there, and the deacons need to be there, the pastoral staff needs to be there, the people need to be there. And I've said it many times, we all need to be, you know, people say there are cliques in the church. Click here. No, we all need to be clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. And I believe this church has that opportunity. Do you want to see glory in the church? We have that opportunity to be of one accord, to be in one place. And there's something else here. When God shows up, when does God show up? When you are praising God, when you are thanking God. Look what it says in verse 13 again, 2 Chronicles 5. I'll read it. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, that then the house was filled with a cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Can you sing Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow, Brother Z, a cappella? Can you stand and say Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow? Let's do it.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Can you say amen? Say amen. Say praise God. Say praise the Father. Praise Jesus. Praise the three in one. Amen. Praise God. You know what? We have too little praising God and thanking God. And God says, I will show up when you're in one place. I'll show up when you get in one accord and get my mission on your heart and get back to your first love and get back to doing the first work. And you start praising God. You say, well, I'll praise God when He does something. No, you praise Him before He does anything. Remember Paul and Silas? They were in jail and God was doing doing nothing right then, and as far as they could see, was they were beaten, they were put in stocks, and they were put in jail. But not only in jail, they went into the inner chamber of the jail, and it was dark there and horrible. And what'd they do? They started singing hymns and praising God. And what happened? The Lord sent an earthquake, and people got saved, and there was a big revival there. Why? Because they didn't wait for something to happen to praise God. They praised God. And that's your problem. If you want God's glory to show up in your life, show up in the church, that's your problem. Praise God when things are good. Praise Him when they're horrible, because He's worthy of praise all the time. Like it says, oh, God is good when he does something great. You know, the Israelites, and God did something great, they were all dancing. Oh! But how about when the Red Sea was there and Pharaoh was coming at them? They didn't praise God then, did they? You know what? God's good all the time. God's good all the time. He's worthy of praise at your worst day. And that's why God doesn't show up. You want God's glory in this church? Then get into praising God and thanking God. I think of David Gibbs. I like David Gibbs. I've heard his sermons, and he is a blessing. I like David Gibbs. I like that fat boy. He's a good preacher. And David Gibbs, you know, he would complain sometimes when things happened to him. How many of you have ever complained? And I'll tell you what, you know, we've been having some negative things happen around here, and I feel like complaining about that bus and all of that stuff. And I Brother Z had a Brother Z had a birthday party the other day, and during his birthday party, when he's supposed to be blowing out candles and having fun and eating birthday cake, he was out with a bus, and it was spurting not radiator fluid, what is that, coolant, antifreeze all over the place, and spent 3 hours at John Payone's. We got a part, and they were praising God, it's going to get fixed, but no, it didn't. It got worse. It was bad. And I just sang him a song. I said, it was his birthday party, and he was in the bus. It was shooting cool. I said, it's my party, and I'll cry if I want to cry. You would cry, too, if it happened to you. And, you know, Brother Dave Gibb, though, his wife rebuked him because he was really complaining about things that were happening. She said, honey, she said, we need to make a list. And for all these things that you think are negative, we need to thank God for them. And so I did that this afternoon. I knew I was going to preach this tonight. So I did that this afternoon. I thank God for that bus and the horrible problem of it, you know, and all of these problems we got. And I thank God. And I thank God for other things. And, you know, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to, in everything, give thanks. And the grumbling and the complaining, that doesn't cause God's glory to shine in your life. That doesn't cause God's glory to shine in the church. That's the way the world is. They're a roller coaster. You know, when things are up, they're up. When things are down, they're down. But God wants us to be up all the time. So I want to just say tonight, do you want God's glory in your church? Start praising God for it, number one. Number two, personally pursue it. You personally pursue it. And how do you do that? By pursuing the power of the Holy Spirit to get the fruit of new disciples. I'm quoting now from John chapter 15, verse 16. Here's what it says, Jesus' words. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. By the way, you're ordained. That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, Jesus is saying that I want you to have the fruit of new disciples in your life. I want you to have people that get saved through your life and they follow Christ, their fruit that remains. They get baptized, they join the church. I want to see that. You say, what brings that about? The glory of God in your life, the glory of God in the church. But listen, you have to pursue that. you have to pursue that. And have you done that in your life? Have you pursued the purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God is in your life so that you can pursue that. Now, we talked about Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Let me read that verse again. It says, "Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You might say tonight, "Well, Pastor, I don't expect I'm going to get people saved. I don't expect I'm going to see people baptized. I don't expect I'm going to see much of anything really happen. I just don't expect it." But listen, it says, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, the power of God, the glory of God is already in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. But when the glory of God fills you, that glory of God fills you so that you can point people to Jesus Christ, so that they'll get saved and they'll start following Christ and they'll live for the Lord, and you will make a difference in somebody's life. And that's what we need to do. We need to praise God and make a difference. I was out on bus ministry, and I came up to this house, and I could hear the vibrations of rock music. It was like boom, 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 boom. And as I got closer, it was like rat music. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, oh my, here I'm coming to this house. Here this person has got this speakers on. And I walked up to the lady. It was a lady, and she was there in the porch, and she talked about, she must have got under conviction, because she talked about her music wasn't the right music. I didn't say anything to her. She just liked that. And then I told her about some music that praised God. And you know, we have this thing today. You could just talk, and she got that hymn right up and started boom, boom, over the boom box. And it was like blasting out, praising God. I was like, praise the Lord. And she said, "I'll go to church tomorrow, and my daughter's going to go to church." And we were, now she didn't go. She sent her daughter. She didn't go, but she sent her daughter. Praise God for that. And I'm just saying to you that you and I need to pursue the power of God that's greater than rock music. We need to pursue the kind of music where people are praising God and thanking God. I thank God for our youth conference people and our people going to camp, and the kind of music they're going to hear is the right kind of music. By the way, the kind of music we have here is the right kind of music. Praise God for that. You know, rock music and rap music of the world, that's the kind of music the devil is really comfortable with. When Saul was oppressed by a demon spirit, David would play on the harp, and that demon spirit would get uncomfortable and leave Saul alone around that music. Man, we need the right kind of music. We need to get away from this rock rap crap, like I like to call it, and get the rock that doesn't roll kind of music. You need to get the right music in your life so you can praise God and you can pursue something that God is comfortable with, that the Lord would bless. There's a certain kind of music that God blesses, and that's the kind of music you need if you're going to pursue the power of God in your life, and God will show up in a wonderful way when you pursue it, so that you can see the power of God and actually get people saved. And I can think of times in my life I identified with Hannah. Hannah was a wife, and she was a wife to this man who was a priest, and he had another wife back in the Old Testament day. Her name was Penina, and Penina would get pregnant when she just looked at her husband. I mean, she just got pregnant that quick. But Hannah, she couldn't get pregnant. Now, her husband loved her especially, but that wasn't enough for her. And I gotta insight from that, that even though the Lord loves us and we know he loves us, even though we can praise him, that shouldn't be enough. A woman should want to have some babies. Amen? First comes love, then comes the babies. And in the Old Testament, these women, Hannah was one of them. She was so hurt by Penina having pregnancy, and she couldn't have babies. But you know what? She cried and took it to the house of God. And the man of God thought she was drunk. She wanted so bad. But she said, no, I got to break out of barrenness. I got to have a baby. God gave her Samuel. Can you imagine? And he gave her 5 children. He answered her prayers. Perhaps you have been barren spiritually. You love the Lord. You know the Lord loves you. But you want to see somebody really get saved. And you haven't seen it. You need to pursue God for that. You need to get hungry for it. Remember Rachel? She said to Jacob, she said, give me children or I die. Well, God gave her children. She did die. Amen. She had a son called Joseph and then Benjamin. But you know what? She wanted children. And that is something that we should want. Maybe you can't have children physically or you're not at that age or whatever, but you can have spiritual children. In Sunday school, I talked about Paul. And Paul had children. Titus was his son in the faith, became a great preacher. Timothy was his son in the faith, became a great preacher. He had Onesimus, a runaway from Philemon. He led him to the Lord in jail. He said he begot him in jail. Listen, that means he was witnessing everywhere. How about you? How about you? I mean, we can be witnessing everywhere if we're ready, if we're not ashamed of the gospel, and if we are praying for the holy boldness of the Holy Spirit, that not only can we give the gospel, but God will give us fruit that remains and will break out of barrenness. I want to challenge you tonight, this year, this summer, to ask God for fruit, and I want to break out of barrenness and then take advantage of the opportunity to witness, and God will bless you. And so you can pursue it by pursuing fruit that remains, but you can also pursue it by pursuing the fruit of the Spirit so you can get new disciples. You know the verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. If I asked you to quote it, you could probably quote it, right? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what? That means that not only are you to get new disciples, but you're to get new disciples by being filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean that the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit is to make you more attractive, to attract people to Jesus. A lot of people repel people away from Jesus because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you've been grieving the Spirit with your music. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you've been grieving the Spirit with what you're looking at and lusting after in this world. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're going around grumbling and complaining and murmuring and that grieves the Holy Spirit. He's in you and he doesn't leave you, but he kind of withdraws his influence. And therefore, what does the world see? They don't see Jesus Christ in you. They see that old you. And that's not going to help anybody get saved. Amen. I don't want that. And it says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Stop quenching. Quench not the Spirit. What does that mean? That means don't throw cold water on the Holy Spirit. When there's preaching going on, encourage it. Get under it. Get filled. Hear the Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to pray or prompting you to witness or prompting you to help somebody, maybe to give something to somebody, and they're a poor person, and God says, you give it, do what the Holy Spirit said. That's what D.L. Moody said. He said, when the Holy Spirit said, I'll do it. He said, if it's not against the Word of God, I'll do it. He said, if the Holy Spirit told me to jump through a hole in a wall, I'd jump. And he was just an ordinary man, but he was great for God. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have shared this before. I'll share it again. Years ago, I had an apartment up there, but it wasn't an apartment. It was a garage, and I wanted to rent that garage out, and I was always renting it out, and I rented it to a guy named Don Blatt. Don Blatt. And Don Blatt, I found out, wanted the garage for storage. And I said, oh, that's fine. And it was for storing batteries. And he had all these batteries. And the problem with it is it came with rats. And I had to get rid of Don Blatt because he had rats. How many of you like rats? Anyway, he had rats around the batteries. And so we had so many rats, they came down and migrated to our house. There's these great big rats. And I remember I just put poison everywhere to poison the rats, you know. And I remember we had suspended ceiling downstairs, and we were cleaning down there. And I was lifting the suspended ceiling up, and all of a sudden, this humongous rat with teeth and his mouth open came jumping right at my face. And I screamed like a girl. I was like, "Yeah!" And I dropped that suspended ceiling, caught him by the tail, and he was swinging right over my head. I was like, boy, that was something. But I remember taking a battery and carrying it down, and I had army pants on, and I was carrying it down from Don's house to wherever I wanted to get rid of it, and I was carrying it. And by the time I got there, I had bumped certain things on my pants, you know, with the battery. And by the time I got to the house, I looked down at the front of my pants, and it was just full of holes. I mean, I had the most immodest pants on you want to see. And it was the battery acid just ate up the front of my pants. Thank God it just went down the pants, not any further in. But that stuff was eating it up. And it reminded me of something that, how are you when somebody bumps you on the road in life? You know, how many of you have ever, don't raise your hand, how many of you ever been bumped and responded in such a way you didn't want to leave a track after you ate your meal, or you yelled at somebody or did, and you didn't even want to leave a track, you just wanted to get out of there quietly? Well, see, that will hinder you from pursuing revival and the glory of God in your life. And so we need to stop grieving the Holy Spirit, stop quenching the Holy Spirit, and rather be filled with the Spirit of God so that we can be testimonies, and God will bless us and use us to get the gospel out. So I'm talking about and asking you a question tonight. Do you want the glory of God in your church? Do you want the glory of God in your life? I do. Well, if you do, then number one, praise God for it. Praise Him and thank Him. Number two, personally pursue for it. And lastly, perseveringly pray for it. I'm saying to you tonight, keep praying for the glory of God despite discouraging situations in your life. In fact, look at Matthew 15. I'm going to read verse 21 through 23, and we're talking about keep praying for the glory of God to show up in your life, in your church, even when you have very discouraging situations. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 15. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." That's modern day Lebanon. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him." So she was a Canaanite, a cursed people. "Cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with a devil." But look what it says. "He answered her not a word." He didn't even answer her. How many of you have prayed and it was like the heavens are brass? God didn't answer you. And maybe you've given up, but I want to tell you tonight, don't give up. If you're praying for a revival, don't give up. If you're praying for God to judge the systems evil over America, don't give up. If you're praying for prophecy be fulfilled over in Iran, even through Trump, don't give up. Listen, you need to realize that when discouraging situations and circumstances come, that's a challenge to your faith. Don't give up, even when people that are godly people discourage you. I mean, this was the Son of God Himself, and He discouraged her. He discouraged her. How did He discourage her? It said He answered her not a word. Now, on top of that, it said, "But and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us." So the disciples also discouraged her. They said, send her away. She is a bother to us. Listen, I'm saying tonight, do you want to see the glory of God in your church, in your life? Keep praying for it despite the discouraging situations that seem to be throwing cold water on your fire. And number two, keep praying for it despite divine denials. Look at verse 24, 25, Matthew 15. It says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, was he telling the truth? Yes, he was. His mission was to offer the kingdom to Israel. And he said, that's my mission, and I'm going to focus on my mission. And that was very discouraging, because it was a divine truth that seemed to say to her, no, you're shut out from this thing. You're not going to get an answer to your prayer. You know, there'll be times like that where even truth will come up to you and it'll discourage you. But notice what happened here. It says, in verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know what worship means? Praising him for who he is and saying, I still praise you, God. Even though I have discouraging situations, even though I have divine denials going on, I'm going to praise you. And Lord, I'm going to ask you for your help. And she did that. But let me say a third thing. Perseveringly pray for it by keeping praying for it despite demeaning things in your life, demeaning denials. Look at verse 26 of Matthew 15. Says, but he answered and said. Now, it would be better if he didn't answer her a word as far as discouragement. But here in verse 26, he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. How would you like Jesus to call you a dog? I mean, that's pretty discouraging. And, you know, would you take your ball and bat and just go home at that point? Just walk away? Just stop praying? Just give up? But notice what happened here in verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She would not be deterred. We're talking about perseveringly praying for it. God says, do you really want the glory of God? I think of Jack Hiles, that guy, he perseveringly prayed for the power of God in his church, for the glory of God. And he had it in Texas. And every church he went to in Texas had it. And when he went to Chicago, it was there. I saw it. I witnessed it. Now, there are different degrees of the glory of God in a Christian's life. But listen, you're not going to have the greater degrees of the glory of God if you just turn away at divine denials, if you turn away and give up despite demeaning denials, if you give up despite discouraging situations and circumstances. No, keep praying for it until you get divine demonstrations. And look at the divine demonstration, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Perhaps there's something that you've had discouraging denials and very demeaning things that have happened to you in pursuing God and pursuing his will. Oh, let me tell you, let Jesus praise your faith. Let Jesus see your faith and do it until he demonstrates his approbations and his praise for your faith, and you will get more of the glory of God. I believe that. You will see greater things happen in your life. I believe that. And so tonight, Do you want the glory of God in this church? Praise God more for it. Personally pursue it more. And perseveringly pray through until you get what you need, what this generation needs. And God will be glorified in your life. People will be blessed through your life. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. I believe.